You've mastered your craft, but does your brand truly reflect the magic of what you do? Welcome to The Vignette Effect. I'm your host, Raquel, and this is your guide to building a radiant brand you love and that works for your business. Here, we get real about all things branding, visual storytelling, and the tricky business of being a creative entrepreneur. We'll dig into shaping your brand's identity, creating visuals that connect, and using it all to bring clarity and purpose to your marketing without overthinking. It's time to craft a brand that's not just beautiful, but memorable, and have fun doing it. Let's dive in. Hello, hello, and welcome to the first episode of The Vignette Effect. I'm so excited to kick off this podcast adventure with you. And I figured what better way to start than by giving you a peek under the hood, sharing some early moments and a brief 30,000 foot high level view of what shaped how I see brand strategy and the trajectory that landed you and me here together. So when I first started in photography, we were still in the analog film days, before the internet boom changed everything, before digital cameras changed everything, and iPhones, smartphones, cell phones practically. I mean, there were cell phones, but I didn't have one yet, even at this time. So I'm dating myself as a Gen Xer here. But this was during a time where you couldn't just fix everything in Photoshop. I mean, yes, we used Photoshop, but we're talking over 20 years of technology from then until now, which is light years in tech talk. So really, you know, it was for basic retouching and editing. Otherwise, everything was manual and hands-on and all about getting it in camera. So we would shoot lighting tests on Polaroid film before ever shooting onto film. And for anyone who is unfamiliar, I mean, I'm sure most people know what Polaroid film is, and you've seen some Polaroid cameras and things. But back in the day, before there were iPads and digital cameras and all of those kinds of things to quickly view images that you were shooting, we had film cameras that had removable backs that you would put a different back on that you would load Polaroid film into to shoot your lighting tests and then swap the back out and shoot onto film. And then to add on to that, throughout the day of a photo shoot, especially if there was a client there, you would run your film tests to the lab little bits at a time and be processing in real time to make sure that you're nailing it. Because again, there was no instant gratification other than doing it that way. There was no tethering to a computer, no image on the back of the camera, no instant feedback. So imagine that you had to get it right in the moment. Well, that experience shaped how I see and approach, of course, photography, but also branding and every part of the work I do, because it taught me that every single detail mattered and that it paid off to be thoughtful. You know, you couldn't rely on quick fixes. You had to build an image with intention. And as a Gen Xer, I can say that I'm so thankful that that's how it was when I started my career in photography, because that experience is irreplaceable and not so common in the digital age, but it implanted a certain perspective and integrity around creative business that sometimes gets clouded now that we're contending with things like AI and such. We're not going to go down that whole rabbit hole today, but just to paint the picture for you that this was a time of analog, and things weren't moving quite so quickly. Now we're gonna get there real fast because this was just before the internet boom. So one of my biggest, or at least one of my first aha moments in understanding just how much some of those very intentional details mattered and the weight that visual art carries that so many don't have insight to, happened in a commercial photo studio in San Francisco. And when I say many don't have insight to, I just mean, you know, there's so much, visual branding that goes on. And in so many cases, it really is art, but we just see so much of it and it's so readily available and everywhere online all the time that I think it's really easy to forget sometimes the weight and importance that it has. We just are inundated with so much of it. So when I started as a fledgling aspiring photographer and was still in school, I landed an internship, a paid internship, ooh la la, at a photo studio with a leading photographer who shot for clients like Honda and Disney, Bank of America, New York Times, a long list of big budget brands and publications. And of course, at first, I was mostly in command of the espresso cappuccino machine, but proved that I could do more than foam milk. And so I graduated on to other things, including acting as a second assistant on shoots, which was what I was in it for. I mean, this is why I wanted to have an internship, was to see everything that goes into a full-scale commercial production from start to finish, from booking the job, the pre-production, the shooting, the, delivering the images and then seeing them in print, which at the time was, usually the main output. So this is what I wanted to learn. I started very much as a, I'll say, fine artist. I'm making air quotes, just meaning that when I started it, I was really just doing it because I loved it and hadn't really thought so much about what that looked like as a career. But I knew early on that if I wanted to have the life and career I envisioned, I needed to learn about the business of it all. So, come to the first shoot day that I was going to be able to participate in at the studio. And it's the day before we're all prepping, which for me and the other assistant meant a lot of schlepping equipment around and setting up and testing lights and the like. So there was also a stylist who was often at the studio, and she was the coolest. She was confident and creative and easygoing, and she taught me a lot about the studio and the work they did. And she had this really bold but like bohemian style. And I remember on this day, she was wearing a gorgeous, bright lilac cashmere top and this bright coral lipstick, and she had platinum hair, just very much the San Francisco creative vibe. So she was set up at a like huge table making dozens and dozens of ink blot butterflies, and they were all spread out, like spilling over the edges of the table. So many, she's like filling other surfaces, like all the kitchen counters and some on the floor. So she had a little dropper to dab ink onto the paper to make a little individual wing. And then while it was wet, that she'd carefully fold the paper to make a symmetrical imprint and thus open the paper to reveal a butterfly. So there were all these different patterns and sizes of watercolory butterflies. And at first I'm thinking, is this maybe a little frivolous? Like, is this maybe overkill? I'm also thinking, how do I get her job? That looks pretty chill and fun, and I'm just working my tail off over here, So she's setting up and organizing all the props and making delicate little paintings. So then the time comes to shoot, and of course, we tested lots of these inky butterflies along with several other elements in the frame. And I can no longer tell you what the shoot was for. I don't remember. I wish I could, but I can tell you that any old butterfly wasn't going to do. There was a very particular look to achieve. And I watched the whole process of the imagery coming into shape. The way that the client and the art director were, getting involved, and the way that everybody was really invested in the evolution of the details and, just making everything right, and how little details like this little butterfly painting transformed the entire image and made it work. Because if you've ever taken a photo of any kind, a lot of times you have an idea, you go to take the picture, and you're like, no, let me try again, right? I mean, it's just that times 100 when you're on a big photo shoot. I mean, it takes a while to get it there. So it made it work. So when it all clicked, everyone was on the same page, like, yep, that's the one. And simultaneously, it clicked in my brain, like, this is why this is such a big to-do. Because if you want to get a specific idea across in a specific way, you can't be flippant about it. Like, there's tens of thousands of dollars, eight people in 2 days dedicated to a handful of images we were making. So, that moment stuck with me because of, first of all, how it changed the way that I saw photography and the opportunity to not just be capturing what was in front of me, but creating a feeling, creating a whole story. So as I continued to work on different types of shoots with a lot of different photographers doing fashion, product, editorial, food, you name it. I started recognizing the theme everywhere that the best images weren't just beautiful and well executed, which they were intentional. Like, they had a job to do. So I started really exploring this in my own work and putting a lot of thought and planning into collaborating with other creatives and being really intentional and thinking about what ideas I wanted to bring to life and how I wanted to build a portfolio. Then came the internet boom. And suddenly, brands weren't just competing on store shelves or in magazines. They had to translate their presence online. Like, their visuals had to work even harder to get attention and make an impression and create trust, and all in an instant because now we're on the internet. So, I mean, just imagine that one day you're working on a spread for an ad and you need one to three images and a bit of copy or a tagline. And, it sounds very Mad Men-like. It wasn't quite Mad Men-like, but a few images and a little bit of copy. And then suddenly, to stay with the times, you've got to create pages and pages of a website, and you've got to keep this going all the time. It's available 24/7, right? Like, the same way that our news cycle has become 24/7, business was suddenly 24/7 on the internet too. So now, sure, we know if you have a business, you're probably going to have a website, and you've got to do some creation that goes along with that. It's expected now, but I can assure you that it was a massive shift at the time, and it brought a new level of noise to every market. So there are no spoilers here when I say that it's only gotten more congested online, and all of those things have been amplified. And actually, I want to pause here to say something really quick, because there's always talk about standing out online and standing out above the noise, etc. And I feel like that often comes across like you have to find a way to be somehow louder than everyone else. And that's not it. It's you do need to discern yourself in a way that connects with people you want to connect with. And we'll go deeper on that another time. But it's just to say that louder and flashier isn't the way. It's more like if you were at a cocktail party or an event, it's like making eye contact across a crowded room versus shouting over everyone. So you want to learn to make eye contact, okay? But more to come on that. So then, through the coming years and working in web design and marketing agencies, along with some corporate marketing roles and running a photo business, what happened over and over was that so many clients were coming at everything in such a disjointed way. And I don't blame them per se. I blame the anxious pace at which everything moves online. But we'd have to keep going back to the fundamentals to move forward on a project. Like, the basics weren't clear. Internally for them, they were unclear about some core values and missions and the audience and things like that. Like, there was no guiding light to follow or unified vision that kept everyone on the same page. And this happened in every area from job roles that I was in to being a photographer and doing a lot of brand photography. When I first started doing more brand photography specifically, I'd work with clients to make what I felt was a pretty comprehensive shot list. And we'd make a mood board and all that good stuff. And it worked out pretty well, aside from a couple times that I can think of that weren't ideal. But overall, it was fine. But I felt like something was missing. And I started bringing people through a deeper intake process. And sometimes they were pretty resistant to it. And I even had a couple of situations where people would be like, oh, no, we love your work. Just do whatever it is you do, it'll be amazing. And, I thought, okay, that's flattering, but I would be like, well, I would really like some more information. And I mistakenly agreed to this exactly one time because, as you might guess, it didn't go swimmingly because I'm not a mind reader. And I hadn't even recognized at this point that the very work that they admired and aspired to have was the way that it was because I had taken those people through this brand clarity process and had an actual vision. So, like I said, I did that one painful time. And then, forever after, they either needed to have an established brand guide for their company or do the in-depth prep with me because that's what fed the planning and the creative direction and really allowed me to create more dynamic work in the brand photography space. And it was so incredibly fulfilling to do it that way, not just as a creative, but also clients were over the moon about the photos and videos that they'd have. And it was because we took the time to, get to know what they really needed and what they were all about, and that fed everything. So then in one of my agency roles, we had a 6 or 8 week process establishing a similar type of clarity. And we were also often met with resistance because these companies, they would come in and be like, want to just get to the good stuff, which for them was, having us create a high converting website for them and just do all kinds of things. And we'd be like, well, who are we talking to? And what is it exactly that you do? And how are we going to show this? And if I'm going to have to write about this, I'm going to need to understand this better and all those kinds of things. So, I mean, the funny thing is they often thought that they had it down pat, and they'd come in and be like, well, really what we're all about is it's data-driven business solutions or some vague idea. Or they'd, say something about their target audience that was super unhelpful. Like, they'd give us a profile of someone who's 35 to 55 and drives a Lexus and has two kids and reads historical biographies. And I would just think, okay, that's different than the information I feel like we're going to need for this. So, and I get that getting clear on these things isn't always easy and you have to dig a little sometimes, but it's so worth it. And it's also really important when you're doing it that you know why any of those things matter or how they matter. Because it's only through this discovery process that you can then launch pad into presenting yourself to the world in a way that actually makes sense to people. And it's also layered and it can be really fun and it can be really tactile. So one of the places I saw this play out fully, it was when I worked with a specialty boutique in Brooklyn. So I lived in New York City for about 10 years after I left San Francisco when the internet boom turned into an internet crash. And during that time, I got to do some really awesome photography work, but there were also periods where I needed supplemental income. And one of those jobs that I had during that time was working as a manager and buyer for a lovely boutique. So at first I figured it would be like getting paid to go shopping, right? Like I'll pick a bunch of really cool stuff and it'll be great. But what it meant was curating pieces that aligned with the shop and the customers, AKA the brand, right? Like that was a true like physical exercise in branding even. So it was very much about both aligning with the shop's vision and the ideal customers. So everything from the color and shape of a mug to the type of candle to like materials used in throw pillows, it had to fit into this world we were creating. We weren't just selling products. We weren't just selling beautiful home products. So we were telling a story and crafting a very specific experience that felt right for the people walking through the door. So that was the 360 degree sensory application of it. So even though the visual branding and like brand identity, brand photography, it's all to help show, not tell something about a business, it's not just about making things look good. Of all those scenarios I've described, the magic was in understanding why certain choices worked, what they communicated, and how they shaped perception. Like, and this is what branding is. And if you're new to me, I use the word magic, and you should know now that when I say magic, I mean all of the many things that come together to make it look like magic, when really there are probably hundreds of tributary streams like feeding this lake of magic, right? So, taking as many of those layers as we can and shaping it. So, the stylist back in San Francisco, she knew all about that. The brands that I worked with knew it. The boutique in Brooklyn knew it. So many businesses struggle because they see the visual aspect of brand building as an extra or sometimes even an afterthought. And then that's like another way that things start to feel a little bit disjointed because aesthetics are a really important form of communication. They send signals and it evokes emotion, and the aesthetics tell the story before a single word is spoken or written. And they just send a lot of cues. So, I mean, think about just the shop experience, okay? When you walk into a luxury boutique versus a quirky indie shop, the way those spaces feel tells you something instantly. It could be in the colors, the textures, the items that are in there, but also the lighting and the music they play, if there's a fragrance, and all these things shape your perception. And that is not by accident. That's strategy. And it's the reason you'll pay more for the same toothpaste at a vibey apothecary than you would at a regular drugstore. The same thing applies to your brand, even if it's only online, which is a total departure from my early days. And a lot of businesses are now online only. So, in that case, especially, your visuals aren't just extra, they're your first impression and they set expectations. I mean, this is true for everyone, right? They attract the right people and disenchant those who aren't going to find what they're looking for with you. It just all subtly communicates who you are and what you stand for. And also now you have to navigate the pros and cons of using things like, templates. I mean, thank goodness there are website templates because there was a time when I was first making a website for myself and you had to hire somebody to code it. I mean, thank goodness we don't have to do that. So pros and cons come with that too, right? But now we have templates, AI, stock photography, and all these things that can make it easier unless you're leaning into it too much, or, there are a number of ways you can still make it harder for yourself, but you can also still easily get lost in the crowd, but it's all more accessible, which, that comes with its own its own set of issues. Making things more accessible sometimes makes people think that it's going to be a lot easier than it actually is. And so we're going to dissect the ways that that happens. It's a lot to unpack. I'm not against any of those things, by the way. There's like a way that you can use all of these things to support what you're doing. But staying true to the integrity of your goals and your vision is a cornerstone. It's super important. So, what does this all mean for you? How your brand looks isn't just about aesthetics. It's about communicating meaning instantly. It's about connecting through imagery. And in today's world, where brands and most of us exist in a hyper-visual, digital-first space, people make split-second decisions about your business based on what they see. And that's why understanding the power of aesthetics beyond just making things pretty is super essential. Understanding it for yourself is not only going to make things easier on you when you're working on your brand, but so many people tell me they really want to outsource some things, whether it's, because most of us don't have every skill set that it takes to make all of this happen, or because they want to delegate tasks and hire help, which is also a wonderful thing to do. But in both scenarios, remember you're going to have a lot more success with the situation if you can give clear direction about the goals and outcomes you need. So here's what I mean. So for example, social media managers. A lot of people will say they want to hire a social media manager. They don't have the time or the desire to grow their social media. And they're struggling with it. Usually also they're frustrated, right? It's part of the reason they want to pass it off to someone else. They just haven't figured out how to make it work for them and they just want to pass it off to someone else. Now, I'm not saying that you can't find a great social media manager who's gonna, help move things in the right direction, but a lot of times a social media manager is not a marketing strategist. And so a social media manager can come in and post for you, or a virtual assistant, they can create social posts for you, just like, a web designer can create a website for you, or a photographer could potentially take photos for you, but are you going to get the things that you actually need to help move your business forward? Is it going to be on brand for you? Is it going to, is it going to do the job that you want it to do? So the way that you can make that kind of situation work for you is to create or hire help creating your own strategy. Understand your own foundational pieces so well that you can turn around and hire somebody like a social media manager or a virtual assistant, and it can be worthwhile because you can say, here's our strategy over the next 90 days. And then they can use that to create however many posts a week, for example, or whatever it is, because now they can see what your whole jam is, right? Like they can see what you're all about. They can see what you're trying to do. They can see the goals that you have over the next 90 days. Now they can create posts that actually help to support that versus just posting on social, which happens more often than you might realize, because again, a lot of social media managers are not specifically marketing strategists doing all of this like deep diving around like the bigger marketing plan. So many benefits to taking the time to define your foundation and your goals. And that's what I want for you, to be able to be intentional, for it to feel effortless. Not that it happens on the first try, but as in, you know what you're going for and you know what story you want to tell. And don't worry, we'll unpack this idea about story because that gets thrown around a lot too. But without the depth of clarity around the brand and the goals, how would the San Francisco stylist have known just what butterfly to create? Now you can look back and say, yeah, that wasn't random. That was a step on the path of strategy and visual branding. So today I leave you with this. If you're excited about building or evolving a brand with clarity and creativity, I'd love for you to subscribe so you don't miss an episode. And if you're feeling generous, leaving a review helps more people find the show and lets me know how the topics land for you. Thank you so much for being here. Till next time.